Hey Jews, let's celebrate 60 years of being a nation. Moses would toast you with a cold beer, 'cause you're still here. Congratulations. Hey Jews, go have some fun, at least till sun down every Friday. Manischewitz is your country's favorite cocktail. Just don't pay retail and keep it kosher, 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 kosher. Oi, 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 bay, oi, oi, bay, hey Jews. Oi, oi, oi.
Fire Talk Radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for reverent entertaining and cool talk.
Somebody hacked into Vice Presidential Candidate Sarah Palin's email account and posted it all online. Apparently, the hacker was able to figure out her password, which turned out to be Bible Hockey Lipstick Gun. And they don't know who got in the email. The only thing to know for sure is that it wasn't John McCain. Or maybe this whole I don't know about the internet thing was just a smokescreen so he could spy on her and find out what kind of sex she likes, you know? Or maybe not. All I know is the whole thing presented a bit of a dilemma for the media, in particular this reporter from our local KCAL News.
Hey, Rick and Sylvia, the hackers broke into a Yahoo email account that Palin apparently used for official business as Alaska's governor. Campaign manager Rick Davis issued this statement. This is a shocking invasion of the governor's privacy and a violation of law. The matter has been turned over to the appropriate authorities, and we hope that anyone in possession of these emails will destroy them. If you'd like to see the email screenshots for yourself, you can log on to our website.
But don't look at them, because that wouldn't be right.
Let's all join in a rousing chorus of Hail to the Chief as Backtime looks at the things done by and done to presidents of the United States on September 22nd. President Lincoln issued the Preliminary Emancipation Proclamation in 1862. It stated that all slaves held within rebel states would be free as of January 1st, 1863. 1961, President Kennedy signed a congressional act that established the Peace Corps. And in 1975, Sarah Jane Moore attempted to assassinate President Ford just 17 days after Lynette Squeaky Fromm made her assassination attempt. That's Back Time for September 22nd. This is your announcer speaking.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
In a world where some people get it right most of the time, and the rest get it right at least some of the time, you manage to get it right none of the time.
You're always wrong.
We love the way you cover your butt with generic forecasts like partly cloudy with periods of sun and a chance of showers.
It might rain or maybe not.
Wow. Thanks for the pinpoint accuracy, Mr. Local TV Weatherman. And by the way, the fact that it's 1 degree warmer three towns over has absolutely no bearing on my life whatsoever.
Nobody cares.
Thank you, Mr. Local TV Weatherman, for that fake smile, that fake hair, and that fake banter with the anchor person whose job you wish you had.
But you don't.
So open an unseasonably cool Bud Light and pour a partly sunny toast to Mr. Local TV Weatherman, a real American hero.
Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
and higher temperatures, St. Low Pressure Area, Missouri.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sam. How
Welcome
are you?
Welcome to the show.
It's about time we're back in the studio.
Yes, it's Monday, September 22nd, the first day of fall, right?
Is it really?
Yes.
Aw, goodbye, summer.
Yeah. I guess today or yesterday, I think it's the 21st usually, or the 22nd, doesn't really matter. But the day and the night are like equal, 12 hours each.
Ah. Yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense. I was cold when I woke up today, so I wore my first sweater of the year.
Yeah. Can you turn here, bring the box over here a little bit.
Okay. He said box.
We have a black box here, but now it sounds a little better, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we have.
Why's it got to be about color?
We weren't here for a week, and so all the equipment is totally out of whack, and I was running late this morning as well.
Me too.
Not that I didn't get up early, but still I was running late. So how you doing, Susie?
Oh, I've got a lot of things going on right now. I had my first, my first two nights at my new house. So today was my first commute coming from there.
And how was it?
Well, I know now not to take Wilshire all the way.
Oh, no. Don't ever.
Oh, my God. That was awful.
Yeah.
I really should not trust my GPS, but I follow it blindly. But I figured I wouldn't take the highway because it seemed like it would be a circuitous way to get here. And so I'm like, all right, why don't I take the back roads? And so I plugged in, like, avoid highway at all costs.
Yeah.
And
then Wilshire is no back road, let me tell you.
Oh, I don't even know what town it goes through. I mean, where is that? It went through like a zoo and a museum and all that shit.
Yeah, that's called Miracle Mile there. That's where the museum and La Brea, the La Brea tar pits are there.
Is that what that was, the tar pits?
Yeah.
That was ugly. I was like, this is the worst park I've ever seen. What kind of ghetto is Los Angeles? Doesn't have any freaking grass in their park?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so dumb. Oops. Never mind then.
So you were in Boston. By the way, before we get into that, I want to tell you, okay, everybody that tuned in Friday and Andy Taylor did not call, and I knew it was probably a mistake on their end.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they try to call on Thursday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I have an email that I told them it's the 19th, and then I guess they wrote a confirmation. I didn't even realize they put the 18th on there. So such a fucking pain, you know, and now they're done with the book tour. So at least I got the book from them, you know.
Oh, God.
And, but she sent me names of the publicists, so maybe we can still get them on. We'll see.
Okay, cool.
You know, but
that's funny because on Thursday, too, I had all of my crazy friends in Canada that all got together, and they were all trying to call the station, too.
Really?
And then my other girlfriends up in Malibu, for some reason, randomly decided to call the station. I had like 20 people that decided to call the station on Thursday as well. And I'm getting all these messages, where the fuck are you? Why aren't you picking up at the radio show?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
they had a replay and they didn't realize.
I know, because they were all listening to it, thinking it was a real show. Oh, shit, Sam, that sucks.
Yeah, but if you pay attention on the website, it tells you in several places if we're playing a replay, you know, so just sort of... But you know, if someone doesn't realize it's a replay, then it's good, you know?
I know.
It's not boring. So, so we were gone from Tuesday through Friday.
Yes.
And we did a one-hour show from a hotel. I did it from the hotel. You did it.
I did it from an 18-bedroom house in Marblehead, Massachusetts, overlooking the harbor.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I meant to tell you, I didn't even think about this, but when we didn't get Andy on the line on Friday, Andy, we're on the first name basis.
Yeah, I know, we are.
But when we didn't get him on the line on Friday, I completely forgot. I was staying at someone's house that's way more famous than he is anyway.
Really?
Maybe not in the music circuit by any means, but, you know,
yeah,
fiscally and just well known on the East Coast. When his father died, it was all over the news.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. He's the 60-year-old man I told you on the air that I dated once upon a time.
Yeah. So that's him. He's the big
name.
Really?
Yes.
And his father died. It sounds familiar. I'm trying to.
His father came over from Albania like a million years ago, and started what was the highest grossing restaurant in the country for like a million years.
So it's not a guy that we know. He's just well off.
Well,
right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's on the East Coast, and pretty much he is world famous, but maybe not necessarily for
me.
For you, yes.
Sorry about that.
That's
my apologies.
That's okay.
I'm not as worldly as I thought I was.
No, that's all right. But it kind of sucked, like, driving to work this morning. I was like, God damn it, I'm not driving the Lamborghini, the Bentley, or the Range Rover.
Oh. Did you drive them there?
I did.
Really?
That's one
What's
of the
it
things,
like to drive a Lamborghini?
I actually don't really like the Lamborghini. It's a little bit older, and it doesn't have power steering, so my arms get like a whole workout when I'm driving that fucking thing, and it drives me nuts.
And they're probably pretty uncomfortable, aren't they? I mean, I know you can't back up.
It is very, very uncomfortable to drive the Lamborghini, but people look at you like you've got 10 heads. It's really kind of funny. Uh-huh. So that's interesting, driving that
but
one.
But if you want people to look at you with 10 heads, just ride on a fucking Segway. Same thing, it's a lot cheaper.
Good point.
I mean, it's like the most fun you'll ever have, but people look at you like you're a fucking nerd.
I can't stand Segways.
Really? Have you ever gone on one?
Yes, I have one. Well, I have it. It's at my dad's house.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He gave one to like my sister and me and his girlfriend for Christmas.
Listen, I'm getting it from you.
No.
Okay, I'll buy it for $100.
Actually, you know what? My dad can't have it at his house in Vegas because it's on a golf course. And so for some reason, I don't know, the housing committee won't let Segways go rolling around.
Wow, that's terrible.
My dad asked me if I knew had a place to put it. Uh-huh. So maybe I could temporarily store it with you for a
couple
years.
Wonderful. Fuck, I'm dying for a Segway, but they're like $5,000-$6,000.
You are such a loser.
Well, fuck you. I mean, you know what it does? It allows you to cover a lot more area.
Tell your lazy ass to
walk.
Rather
than walking. No, but look, if I wanted to...
Get a bicycle.
If I'm in Santa Monica, I want to get to the marina. Shut up. Would you listen for a second? Okay, I'm in Santa Monica. I have an hour to go to the marina and back. There's no way I can do it walking, okay? But I go on a Segway. I cover a lot of area. It's fun. It's fun. It's like it's attached to your body.
Okay.
So fuck you.
So is a bicycle.
Okay, so you like your bikes. I don't like to work hard, okay?
Speaking of which, you didn't show up on Saturday night, you and
no,
your son.
No, we did not.
You missed.
And he mentioned it to me. I saw the exchange of messages on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, you were talking to him about Vagisil, and he had to look it up on Google. He didn't know what it was.
Oh, no, I was telling you, I was like, tell your dad to get the sand out of his vagina and fucking come to my bike ride, God damn it. And then he was like, what's Vagisil? And I was like, oh, God. It's like, I forgot I was talking to a little boy. Shit. What did he say when he looked it up?
He thought it was funny.
Oh, no, I'm such a bad influence.
Yeah, but Susie, I'm so, like, not a night person, you know, and... Truly, I had a lot to do. You know, I mean, I wasn't here for 4 days. You know how much fucking stuff is accumulated?
I know. Neither was I.
I know.
But I came home and moved in the process. But
that's true.
So you missed the biggest party in the world. It
really?
Ended up being like 700 of us on bicycles in costumes that went for about 12 hours.
See, I'd go crazy though, Susie.
You don't have to stay the whole time.
No, but I can't stand that many people around me. Okay, go on.
Well, I took mushrooms, so I didn't really mind anything.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, I was tripping my face off. It was so much fun. Yes.
And riding a fucking bicycle.
And I was wearing my army outfit, my army uniform.
Really?
I found it in storage in Massachusetts when I was digging through all my old shit, trying to figure out what I wanted to keep and throw away.
Uh-huh.
And so I found my not-so-private Raleigh uniform.
Wow. Oh, so you still have the name tag on it
yep,
and stuff?
Yep, yep.
Wow.
It says Raleigh and, you know.
Yeah.
Got everything. So I decided to wear my uniform and eat mushrooms, and it was like, oh, this is a perfect example of what not to do if you're an American soldier. This is what happens if you join the army, kids. You get fucked up.
Yeah. No, only if you're Susie and you go
only
to the army.
Only if you're Susie, yes. Yeah. Yes. But we all make mistakes.
But okay, so tell me, how is this one different from all the other rides you go on?
This was our one-year anniversary. So it was our birthday ride. And so it ended up just being an even bigger block party than it usually is.
Mm.
And people were just way more silly and way more fucked up. Franz ended up getting an open container ticket, of course.
Oh, God. He just seems to find trouble everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
I know. And usually, it's because he's dressed pretty crazy and, he sticks out. And he's riding a tall bike. And he built another tall bike, the last time he got arrested. So
I can see him riding the tall bike.
You can't see him riding
a
tall bike?
I mean, I can imagine it. I can totally imagine it.
I swear, every time he gets on that fucking tall bike, something happens with the law.
Really?
And he gets in some kind of trouble.
Yeah. Well, apparently he likes the attention. That's why he does all these things.
Oh, yes.
You know, so...
Absolutely.
But he gets the wrong kind of attention.
I didn't want any attention this time, so I wore the camo so no one could see me.
Yeah.
Blended. But you seriously missed one hell of a party.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty insane.
Well, I apologize. Apologize to all the 700 people that I didn't see, that I'm sure were wondering, where's Sam?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, they were. I got a lot of questions about you. Everyone wants to know, like, who this Sam is.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And what do you tell them?
He's a 48-year-old Israeli dude, and we're total opposites, and it's hysterical.
That pretty much sums it up. Huh?
I know. Actually, I bartended the Emmys last night.
Yes, I was going to ask you all about it.
Yeah.
No. I mean, while it was happening, I didn't really watch it, but I was going through the internet and I realized it was happening.
Yes.
And I thought, well, Susie
was
serving
there.
Drinks right now.
Oh God, it was miserable.
Why?
Well, because we're not actually doing the actual award ceremony. There's a dinner
right,
afterwards.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And I just can't. This is one of the blessings and one of the curses of working for a staffing company / the catering companies. When you're serving 3,000 to 4,000 people and you have 400. People, you know, serving and bartending for these people, no one has any accountability. So
yeah.
Basically, and everyone's getting paid like a flat hourly rate. No one's getting an extra tip on top of it all when you do like these huge convention-style parties. And so basically, they don't need to have 400 people working these events.
Mm.
If they had 200 people, say they paid me double, and they had 200 of us, and you know what I mean?
Right.
We can actually get the shit done. Because it just drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm basically one of the only people, like, busting my ass trying to get anything done here.
Right.
But because there's so many people, no one even notices your efforts.
Yeah.
So... But I was really excited. I got to meet Kevin Spacey,
and
I've always been a big fan of his.
Really?
I was so excited. I mean, he's such a creep, but but he's just so cool and he's so nice.
Yeah. So did you actually talk to him?
I did.
Really nice.
Yeah. And also, I hope I say her name right, Mariska Hargitay from Law and Order. Mm. From SVU. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, but it sounds right.
She's absolutely... I think it's Mariska or Marissa.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't want to say anything to her. I'm just like, oh, I love your show, blah, 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 blah. You know, talking with them.
Yeah.
But so that was really neat.
So those were like the most famous people there, or did you see somebody else?
No, there were tons of famous people, but
right.
A lot of
you
them...
You just didn't meet them.
I didn't meet a lot of them. Yeah. And a lot of them I actually recognized, but I didn't know their name.
Oh.
So it's like, hey, I know you. You're on that show.
Yeah.
The funny one with the guy and the girl and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but aren't you supposed not to say that when you're a bartender?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's better than, like, the other girl that went up to, like, John Travolta and was like, hey, Vinny.
I know.
You know, you've got to have, like, as long as you're professional, you're allowed to do these things.
Uh-huh.
But the worst is when a lot of people that work for the catering company, they keep their headshot and their resume, like, tucked into their pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tucked all the way down in their ass.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, their catering shirt and their bow tie, like, on top of it all. And the next thing you know, you see them unbuttoning their shirt, and they're like, hey, psst, Mr. Director, here's my resume, here's my headshot.
Really?
And those are the people that get fired, like, on the spot.
Wow.
If they get caught.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The worst I do is sneak a couple drinks and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, people have fucking balls to do that.
People have such balls.
Wow.
You wouldn't even believe the kind of big hairy balls that these people have.
Really?
It's intense.
Yeah. So listen, I got great news, and now you can't antagonize me anymore. We have someone that's going to assist us with the station.
An intern!
Yes.
Yay!
Well, actually, more than an intern.
On.
He's gonna have his own show also, so we'll promote that.
Excellent.
So I'm really excited.
Who is this person? You know? Where did you find him?
God,
I'm a genius.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have him come on the show this week, and then we can talk to him about all that. Okay. But he just contacted me to do a show, and then I just realized he, like, fell into my lap. You know, it's like perfect situation for him and for us.
Wow.
So it's awesome. And so finally, I dare even think about some free time. Yes.
Well, congratulations. I'm very proud of you.
Well, thank you very much.
Very proud of you.
So now you can't keep on sending me these text messages about interns and interns and interns. I'm fucking sick of hearing about it.
I know. I'm sorry. But when I see you, like, ready to collapse and, like, die over here, you know, I feel bad. I'm just like, all right, for God's sake.
I know. Thanks.
What can I do to help alleviate and not put any extra stress on myself? So.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice of you.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so I was at the radio convention.
Yes.
And after a day and a half, I already wanted to come back home. I don't know what it is. I used to love to travel, and I still do, but I think going alone was kind of like lonely.
Definitely.
You know?
And you've been lonely even being home without your wife around.
Yeah, who's coming back right after the show. I'm going to pick her up.
Oh, today?
Yeah, so she's back.
Oh, yay.
I know. So it's amazing. You know, I mean, at first I was kind of looking forward when she was going to, just have some free time and stuff, mm-hmm. and not have to worry about somebody else. And but then you start missing them, you know, because it's part of your life, you know.
I'm getting actually a little bit sad. Franzi, next week, next Tuesday, is taking off to New York for 57 days.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
He's going back to see his family and to do a bike jousting tournament in New York City.
Yeah.
I think it's a tall bike jousting tournament, so he'll be up on one of those tall bikes, like literally jousting the other person with these huge, huge, like, I don't know, jousting things.
How does he get his bike over there, or does he have one there?
He's going to build a new one, I think.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Mm. But so he's going to be gone for 57 days, and as it is, I've spent the last two nights in my new house, and he's been staying at my old apartment in Venice.
Right.
But I know exactly how you feel. Even though he's still around, mm-hmm. like, I don't have him at night. I don't have, I don't know. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I'm going to do for 57
days.
Yeah,
what the fuck are you going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to be the end of us or what.
Nah, it doesn't have to be. But, you know, I mean, yeah, it's times like that that can be pretty risky, actually.
57 you know, days?
Especially things have been kind of shaky between you two.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
But you'll see. Look, I mean, things happen for a reason. If you find someone and you really hit it off, then it was supposed to happen that way, you know? But I have a feeling you're really in love, you know?
On some weird fucked up level.
I know, you try to sort of mask it, but you are, you know?
Well, I don't try and mask it. Like, I do love him, but I fucking hate him, too.
Yeah.
I want to kill him most of the time. But we all know
but
this.
There is definitely a connection there.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know. I think at this point in your life, I don't think you're as wild as you used to be.
Oh, so I definitely know that.
Yeah, so I think you kind of mellow out. And I'll be very proud of you if you can hold up
for 57 days. Oh, Jesus. His father's been in town since Tuesday, actually. And so, I don't know. I went over to the house yesterday before I had to go to the Emmys because I slept in for my first night at my new house until like 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then I went over to feed the cats because they're still at my old house with Franz and his dad. And his dad was out for a walk and I was like, wake up! I was like, I need some sex now! And he's like, no, baby, I drank too much last night. I can't. I'm like slapping him in the face. I'm like, get up! I want sex now! I'm like, you're leaving next week, for God's sake. And so he's like, fine, do I have to?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you have to. Like, do you hear yourself? I'm like begging you for sex, and like you're turning, you're like,
yeah. You're such a firecracker. I need sex, and I need it now.
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, that's fine. That's cool. I mean, it's a turn on. Yeah.
Actually, speaking,
I demand my sex.
So, did you stop smoking while you were away?
No.
Ay, ay, ay.
No, I did not stop smoking.
What are we going to do with you?
I don't know. But listen, so I wanted to talk to you a little about Austin.
You don't want to talk about it.
No, I was looking.
That's okay,
I was so I was hoping Austin would be like a really cool place, okay?
Yeah.
So I stayed downtown at the Hilton, which is right across the street from the convention center. And
was it roomy?
Yeah, it was nice.
There was a Saturday Night Live skit about Paris Hilton after her porno came out, and some other guy was like, "Is it roomy when you stay in the Paris Hilton?"
Oh, I see. Okay. Gotcha.
Sorry.
Gotcha. Okay. Totally passed
right carry on. Carry on.
So. So I'm like walking there and I'm looking for something to eat, right? The first evening I get there. And all I'm seeing is like loud concerts coming in from different clubs, and, you know, like lining the streets and shit. People all full of tattoos and piercings. And hardly any restaurants. Hardly even any bars, a couple bars or something. And this is supposed to be the famous 6th Street in Austin, right? Fucking almost abandoned, and the only people there are homeless and really, like, again, you know, people you wouldn't even look twice at on the street.
Really?
You know? Yeah, just like street people. And I'm going, what the fuck
like
is
Venice
this?
Like Venice street people? Like street performers?
Yes, yeah. No, street people, street
just like
people.
Homeless, like yucky people.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You know, young, old, you know, anything, you know.
Wow.
And yeah. And then, so finally I find like, oh, there's a pizza stand kind of a thing. I go and I look at it, and the pizzas look like they've been sitting there for 3 days. Dry, you know, just, you know, I mean, discolored. And I'm going, I can't
awful.
Eat
you
here.
Look, you look like you just threw up in your mouth.
I know. I can't. So I said, I can't eat here. So I keep going, and then finally I found a place that had some hamburgers and chicken wings. But, you know, I thought, not even a friggin' fast food restaurant here, nothing. You know?
Really?
Yeah. So luckily during the convention they had like luncheons and cocktail parties and stuff. So most of the time I ate there, you know. But
yeah.
But a couple times I had to go and find somewhere to eat and there was just nothing to do and nowhere to eat, you know. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of a place is this?
Well, did you really walk far enough or did they not have a Segway for you to get?
No Segways.
To get the other mile?
It's not that big, okay?
I'm such a bitch. I know. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, you are. That's okay. That's what we're here for.
I have a feeling that if I went to Austin, I would have had a completely different take on it.
You probably would.
I think I might have had an absolute blast and found a place to go table dancing. And I would.
You probably did. Yeah, yeah. In fact, they had a Coyote Ugly there. But I don't know if there was any people in there.
I don't really. They have a Coyote Ugly in Boston that I don't know. I don't really like those places. I went there once with some people that I was in the military with, mm-hmm. and it was all just like kind of cute girls that kind of just weren't quite good enough to like make it anywhere else or do anything else.
That's the
in
same
their
as
life.
The Hooters girls, you know, same thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So those kind of ugly places. I mean, the premise is good, but when you try and like duplicate them in every city, just it doesn't really work out so well.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you probably would have found things to do there. It is a college town, but you couldn't tell.
Actually, is SMU there? Southern Methodist University?
Maybe, but I know Texas State, Texas University, whatever it's called.
I think I had a fiance that went there.
Mm. Yeah, but you know what was amazing in the convention center? Like I'm looking for this room where a session was, and they had this huge hall with beds and stuff. You
really?
Know, because a lot of people were coming from Houston after the storm.
Oh.
So so they had like. All kinds of stuff there, like
relief.
You saw after Katrina,
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice they were doing that.
I know. So, but you know what strike me about, because it's like Texas, you think there's probably like a lot of people from Mexico. I didn't even see one Mexican there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know? But no, it just goes to reinforce, you know what, and when you go to other cities, the same thing. It goes to reinforce that it's not true that they're doing jobs that nobody else would do in this country. You go to other cities and there are other people, Americans, doing the work. So it's not true, you know. It's just that we're here, we've been invaded. And that's what people don't want to admit.
That we've been invaded?
Invaded.
I don't know.
Okay, that's my opinion.
Invaded by the Mexicans?
Yes.
Oh, Sam, that's awful.
Why? There's too many. I mean, I'm not saying
you're
whether
an invader too.
No.
Yes, you
are. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Okay. First of all, I've been here for 32 years, and I came in here legally.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm not trying to impose my language and my culture on the rest of the city.
Okay.
Okay?
Jews aren't? Jews aren't?
No.
Bullshit.
Why?
In Los Angeles.
Give me an example.
Jews are trying to dominate everything in Los Angeles.
Really? Why? Do you see anything Jewish out here? Like
the banks,
things written in Hebrew or stuff, or
not necessarily the banks.
You see, you're starting with
I'm looking. See, I'm looking right now at the Citibank.
You see, you're starting with the stereotypes. I mean, this is a stereotype, you know, to say that all Jews have banks or all banks associated with Jews. You know, that's a big stereotype. It's not like that at all. And even when people stereotype about Jews in general, like they have money. I don't have money, and I'm Jewish, you know. And the people I know don't have a lot of money, you know. So, you know, it's not necessarily that.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so the thing is this. Look, I can understand certain stereotypes, but at least be correct, you know. It's like when someone says Jews are cheap, okay. Now, what does that mean? If you come to me and you say I'm cheap, what does that mean?
Well, okay, let me call up my friend Cameron, for instance.
Okay.
He's extremely cheap.
Okay.
He's the cheapest Jew I ever knew.
Right.
Okay, so
what does that mean to
you? On J-Date, okay?
Right.
And so he wonders why all these girls, he goes out on the first date with them, he makes them pay.
Right.
Because he's too cheap.
Okay,
and
so you're saying...
And then he calls them for a second date, and then they're like, no, we don't want to go out on a second date with you. And he calls me every day, well, now he has a girlfriend, But so all of a sudden, he's like, I don't understand why they don't want to go out on a second date. And I was like, because you're fucking cheap.
Yeah.
I was like, for God's sake.
Okay, so that's him, right? But now, does that mean that I'm like that?
No.
Okay.
Because I told you I was poor the other day, and you offered to give me lunch money.
Okay, well, cool. All right. But another thing is, like, let's say it's not about dinner, and let's say it's not about someone. Because it seems like almost everybody says Jews are cheap.
Okay,
now what does that mean? If someone comes to me and says Jews are cheap, what does that mean? You want me to give you money? Is that what that means? Because go walk up to a non-Jew and ask him for money. I mean, why aren't you saying to other people who don't give you money that they're cheap? So the whole world is cheap because nobody's giving you money. I mean, what am I, just because I'm Jewish, I'm supposed to give you money?
It's not necessarily about, what is it? It's not necessarily about giving money.
What is it about?
It's just about coming to the table equally. I don't know. I find it specifically when it comes down to like drinking,
I mean,
and going out to eat with all of my Jewish friends, because I have a ton of them. I don't know why or where they all come from or why they all like me. But but I'm telling you, I've got a ridiculous number of Jewish friends. And every time we go out, you know, it comes down to like the penny. They'll get out the tip calculator and they're just like, okay, I owe $4.22 for the tip. Or they'll, you know, it just comes down to like this. And meanwhile, I'm like, and they're like, oh, Susie, well, you owe this much. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll get dinner this time, you know, and you can get lunch next time. But no, it's never like that with them.
Yeah.
It's always just, you know, down to the penny, and they get out the calculator and they try and figure out everything.
Yeah.
And they never want to leave like a dollar or a penny more, or even if the service was really good, they never want to be.
So you're saying this about how many people now?
All of my Jewish friends.
All of them do that.
All of them.
Okay, so you're hanging around with the wrong people, because I don't know people like that, Susie. I really don't, you know? Yeah, look, if it was true, I'd be the first one to say, okay. Like people say, like, people criticize Israelis about many things, like they're not polite or they're pushy or whatever. I'll be the first one to agree with that, you know? Because it's true. But to say that Jews are cheap.
But they say the same thing about New Yorkers.
Okay, and it's true.
No, it's not.
But to say
I'm very polite.
Okay.
Not pushy.
Well, no, but we're talking about as a people.
Okay.
All right? But as a people, I still don't see Jews being cheap. I see Jews giving a lot to charity, helping out people.
They do
a lot.
That for the tax deduction.
You know, is that what it is? Okay. Oh, so non-Jews don't do it for the tax deduction.
I give money to charity, and I don't even do my taxes.
Right, that's you. Okay? But I can also say I'm giving money to charity not for taxes.
So we're talking in general, right?
Okay. But what I'm saying, even in general, Jews are not cheap. It's bullshit. Okay? It's fucking bullshit. The people you...
You're entitled to your stereotypes.
No, exactly.
And I'm entitled to mine.
Exactly.
As I look at Citibank looming at me. Looming overhead.
Yeah, and they'll start with Hollywood also, and the press, right? And the media. The Jews own the media and everything, right?
None of the Jews last night tipped.
Oh,
well, but then again, no one else did either.
Well, you know, I'll have you know, I tip 20-25% usually. And so when I order a pizza,
but that's you.
I ordered a pizza last night and I gave the girl like $5 on a $20
pizza. Probably because she had big tits.
No, just because she was a girl. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. See, you do things for your own reasons.
In fact, I got the money ready beforehand.
If it had been an old, ugly man.
Bullshit. The money was already out, Susie. I didn't know who was going to deliver the pizza.
You would have asked for the change.
Fuck you. How do you know? Okay,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you insist that I'd be cheap too. Okay, well, I'm not. Okay?
Well, I'm just saying if it had been, it was probably a cute girl with big tits that delivered the pizza, and you're like, oh, keep the change. If it had been some, like, fugly old beast, you know, you would have been like, give me the change.
Okay, well, let me tell you, it was not the first time. It happens with every pizza. It happens with every restaurant I go to.
Uh-huh.
So, and they're not always cute with tits. And she
is Elaine on Seinfeld Jewish?
Elena? Ilana, isn't
Elaine.
It? Elaine.
Yeah.
Elaine Seinfeld?
Elaine, who's on Seinfeld.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes.
Probably. But, yeah, let's take a phone call.
Okay.
Good morning, Sam and Susie. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, how are you?
Montana.
Who is this?
This is Dave in Montana.
Dave in Montana. How
Hi,
are you, Dave? Do you know
just
Dave in Montana?
On the internet. I just got a new laptop. My son made me get one, and I'm surfing around and stuff, and found you guys about a month ago. Been listening. I think the vein of greed is equally distributed amongst all human beings.
There you go.
The evidence of that in what's going on right now before our eyes, that they're going to give $1 trillion over here. They're talking trillions now. It's unbelievable. And I think it's just everybody's worried about their own stuff, and here we are. We all stepped right into it, into this civilized slavery system they got us in, and it's catching up with everybody right now.
Yeah. What do you mean by civilized slavery?
Well, the way they got it set up with the housing right now, you know, like you go to the bank and you sign your life away for 30 years, right? And then you buy a house that way. But in the meantime, you pay the bank like three times as much as that house is worth, and they go ahead and loan that money out to somebody else to get them to sign their life away for 30 years to pay the bank.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
No, I do, I do. But apparently, I mean, the banks are providing the service. Without the bank, you wouldn't be able to buy the house in the first place.
Well, that I don't think so, because the workers, you gotta go, what it is to build a house, you know, how they got the, I'm up here in Montana, they destroyed the lumber industry when we could be growing our own woods and getting our own forests. Things without importing them and paying all kinds of exorbitant prices. We could the way they it's all like these big corporations up here, like Plum Creek and the Weisenhauser, you know, all the building material is there.
Yeah.
The workers are there.
Yeah. I don't get the point, but I'm sure you got a point.
Well,
here
no. The point is what she's talking about, the tipping and everything. You could look at that.
Yes.
And put it right to what's going on right now. Everybody's greedy bastards.
Yeah. But you know what?
And it's not just one in particular kind of people. You know, I think it's almost
it's old people too.
American way almost.
Well, but you know what? Look, I mean, you're right. Our system does have holes in it because we're an
individual. $1 trillion hole right now.
Yeah, no. But when you're talking about everybody looking out for themselves, look, we're in a society that's not there. We're not socialists. Okay, socialism is supposed to take care of everybody.
But we're doing everything that says we are. We became socialistic as soon as we built out Fannie Mae.
Well,
that's funny. They sold it to us with Johnson. See?
Yeah.
So they got people not Johnson. Remembering stuff, you know.
Yeah. But hold on a second. Hold
moving,
on.
And know what's the problem is the interest. See, they're dealing with numbers so big right now, we'll never be able to pay the interest.
Yeah.
And it's a debt that's being forced down the people's throat, and we got to pay interest on it. Well, how do they get away with that? They might as well just, you know, hold a gun to us so we feel a little better, you know, after they do it to us.
Look, this is let's stick to your point here. This is a country of the individual. You know, the focus here is on the individual.
Oh,
like,
no, because the proof in the pudding isn't that. If I grew a plant right now that will feed me, clothe me, house me, give me fuel, or put me in jail because of a plant, and I have certain unalienable rights given to me by my creator, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and I'm allowed to farm a plant that was given to me by my creator, because when Noah got off the boat, the third thing God told him was, you got access to all the green vegetation.
Yeah, no, look, but, I mean, about the marijuana deal, I agree with you.
Hemp, you demonize it by putting the marijuana on it.
Why do I demonize? I'm sorry, cannabis. How is that? Cannabis.
Okay, that's
better.
Can I tell you?
Okay.
Can I tell you?
He's got an agenda, but that's okay.
Can I tell you?
No,
funny,
it's not
funny.
An agenda.
No, because you brought up
pollution.
Oh, okay.
Can I tell you a funny story really quickly? So like 5 years ago, my sister and I go to my grandmother's house, and, you know, she starts talking about something, garden club, and my sister and I instantly, like, our eyes glaze over, and she's like, oh, we had the most lovely time at garden club last weekend, and my sister like, uh-huh, yep, what happened? She's like, we had this lovely salad, I didn't even need to have a scotch, and I was like, what kind of salad, Grammy? It was cannabis salad. And I was like, what? I'm just imagining, I'm like, you mean cannabis? And she's like, no, they said cannabis, and I didn't have to have scotch or wine.
Plant, that flower you're talking about
is
one of the most ancient flowers, man.
Yeah.
It's been with us for so long, and that's why they don't want us to have it, because it produces individuality, independence, and liberty.
Yeah. Well, that's the conservatives for you. You know,
I wish I were stoned.
Yeah, but
well, no, the liberals are just as bad. The liberals are just as bad.
Yeah.
Know what they just did? They allowed a medical marijuana to put a fence around it and to put it into the pharmaceutical class, and that is owned by the. They're all one. The liberals. They got it.
Interesting.
Caught up into this thing. They want us at each other's throat right now.
We should put get him on the phone with Mo.
And it's Uncle Sam that's the one that's opening up the door to all this socialism.
Yeah.
Because I think they're held to the gun by the UN. And if we do, we should bring along our constitution. Like I say, if we want to bail out these insurance companies, we should tell them, our policy doesn't allow this because our policy is the constitution and it says we shouldn't, be getting public-private partnerships.
But look, you're talking about the laws and stuff. I'm talking about society here. You know, we're individuals as opposed to a place like Japan where people are committed to the group, And that's what I'm trying to say. So
that's passed down through ancestry. And that's another thing, too, everybody's upset about language and culture is going to get lost. I say, no way. That's the way human beings are being human, is practicing their languages, practicing their cultures. And here we're blessed in this country that all of them could come together and do that.
Yeah.
And I see more and more and more that we're becoming some kind of nationalistic pig bastards that want to go only one way, and we can't go that way.
Yeah. So what do you suggest? To summarize your point, what do you suggest? How could we fix that?
What a big question.
Yeah. Because you're like all over the place pretty much.
Right?
I mean, you're talking about so many different things.
The housing industry is one big problem right now. Yeah. And they're passing around, there's a lot of people, there's no work, there's no jobs, there's no... So if people are willing to sign their life away for 30 years to buy a house, I say let's start a civil service to where we could work on our infrastructure. And at 6 years, you volunteer, and after 6 years, you get a two-bedroom bath and a half, and a little lot.
Sounds like socialism to me. Congratulations,
they drug us down so far to where right now we got people that are living that has no inspiration, because they look at that big debt that they're going to have to tackle to start that American dream or whatever.
I just move and don't leave a forwarding address.
But you know what? Look, debt, nobody's standing there with a gun and telling you to borrow money, So it's just, you can't, look, the point is this, is that you're a very interesting man, but you're like all over the place. You're talking about so many different things. We'll have to focus.
Well,
so let me ask you.
It's a problem. It's this whole thing is so complex. It's a big woven mess.
Right.
And the way to through all of this mess is freedom, but that's what people are afraid of because they think too much freedom is going to hurt things, but it won't. It will settle down.
Yeah.
Because freedom, love has to exist first for freedom to exist.
Well, you're idealistic, and that's good. I mean, that's refreshing. You have your ideals and stuff. Why don't you call again sometime and let's focus on certain topics, and we can talk about it.
We could do that. You just have to say which certain topic you want.
Well, okay, but
about Pippin, right?
We were talking about Pippin.
It touches on everything. Pippin is the love of other people doing something for you.
Yeah, but not necessarily.
That's how you show
because,
your love, I guess, right?
Yeah, but
and then,
no,
and
I
that's
don't
an
think
American
it's about
problem.
Love. Man.
We show our love what through money name? Too much, and it got us into the problem right now because people are willing to go into debt to show their love.
Okay. But what I'm saying is tipping is not something that's like a God-given right. I think
you have to work for it.
I think you have
to
earn
it.
Oh,
exactly.
Of course,
it's not about love. It's about appreciation.
And that's the love showing
it's about appreciation.
That you want to serve. Yeah.
Like last night, there's some show on TV called One on One, and the guy who's the father on it named Flex, he came up, he was at one of my tables, and he was telling me, I've got this food allergy, I can't eat this avocado, take it away, can you get me this, and I want this done well done, I want no mushrooms, I need this, I need that, can I get a vodka on the rocks? And we weren't doing table service like this. I busted my ass to make sure he got everything he wanted, and I ended up neglecting some other people to make sure that his allergies were taken care of and this and that. Mm-hmm. He didn't even say thank you.
Really?
Not even a thank you, not even a verbal tip.
That's where you got to know, okay, that guy's like that,
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. It's not for
my soul or my peace of mind, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to give the next guy good service, and maybe that, and you accept that job, you know? When I was a waiter, I said, okay, you know, I want to be here.
And I love what I do. I wouldn't do it if I didn't.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it's just sometimes it's a thankless job, and it sucks. And it's like, if they're not going to say it with cash, you know, which, you know, does pay the bills, you know, at least have the decency to say thank you. And a lot of people out there...
Yeah, if I don't have money to leave a tip, I kind of put everything really nice and orderly so they could just take it away in one shot and everything, you know, because sometimes you ain't got the extra money for the tip, you know, but there's nowhere else to eat. And whatever.
Well, if there's nowhere else to I worked at a fine dining restaurant in Colorado once upon a time, and I had this, I could smell the guy's, like, trashy perfume, like, from a mile away, and, like, his wife with, like, her nasty peroxide, like, bleached out frizzy hair.
Yes.
So I see them
and
walking
the
in.
Those are the people.
Hold on, we need to talk.
Right now with the housing.
You gotta let us talk.
These guys had $150 dinner, you know what I mean? They ordered like a $60 bottle of wine, both had two expensive entrees. You know, the service was impeccable. And so
those are the same
they
people
left me
the
a 50 on, they on. Left me a 50-cent tip. So I went up to them, and I'm not really supposed to do this. And I went up, and I was like, excuse me, was there a problem with the service? And they were like, no, everything was great. And I was like, was there a problem with the food? They're like, no, everything was fabulous. Was there a problem with the wine? No, the wine was delicious. I was like, well, what the fuck is up with this 50-cent tip?
Wow.
I was like, if you guys can't afford to come out and have a nice dinner... I was like, if you guys can't afford to come out and have a nice dinner, I was like, then you fucking should go to McDonald's where you don't have to leave a fucking tip. So the guy got so embarrassed, his face turned.
I would have gave him $10 and said, hey, buddy, here's $10.
You need it more than I do.
Money, yeah.
All right, man. What's your name again? First name?
Dave.
Okay. Dave.
But
thanks so much
many
for calling.
Dave, you could call me Rio if you want.
Rio. Okay, Rio. You're a new friend of the show, so you can call and we'll talk about other stuff, okay?
Just you got it, bro.
Okay,
thanks, Dave.
Montana for us and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling.
Adios.
All right. Bye.
All right, that was Dave from Montana.
That's a new caller.
So we have a Mo from Oregon and a Dave from Montana.
And St. Louis Steve.
We get around.
Okay. I just have this other... Do you have another caller?
No. Go ahead.
I have this other girl on MySpace who looks like a ridiculously sexy stripper who's like, awesome radio show. So I'm trying to find her picture to show
Wait, is
you.
This on my stuff too?
MySpace.
Okay, but it's not my shit.
No.
No, you're talking like you caught me having done something else.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Why are you so guilty over there?
No, because, I mean, you said it in the way like, oh, and I found blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. You were so guilty over there.
No. Well, yeah.
Do you need to go to confession?
No, I was it's kind of embarrassing to be caught watching porn.
It's not embarrassing to be caught watching porn. It was the elderly porn website. That's
okay.
The embarrassing
All
part.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Especially when, again, you know, maybe I was looking at old women, but not that one. Okay. So shut up.
Can we take a break? I have to pee.
Yeah, we have to take a break. Okay, stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Get my feet back on the ground. My friends all laughed at me. They said you'll never change. I wonder if they're laughing now. No reason why. Thank you.
can find a way to show you what I found, and I hope that you can understand.
Ted Kennedy, I am a big fan of Sam and Susie in the Morning here on LA Talk Radio. There is nothing more than I like Jews and nymphomaniacs. And put that pair together, and that is something I will listen to on my internet radio all day long. Here they are, Sam and the horny little slut, Susie. Era.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. Whoops, what did I do? Okay. Anyway, well, we are expecting a guest, so hopefully they'll show up soon. And I started advertising for guests again, and I'm like totally overwhelmed. So, of course, we'll have help with that too now. So, so that would be cool.
So, when I have guests that I want to bring onto the show, how do you want me to go about doing this? Have them go through you for booking, or
well,
what?
We'll see. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Nobody cares on the air, right?
I don't know.
So, how's the new place?
New place is good. My new roommate's a little crazy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
When Franz and his dad moved me into my new place last week, she's missing one of her cats. I don't know if I told you that. Actually, the day that I gave her the checks to actually move in and make it permanent, one of the cats had been missing. And I asked her before, why don't your cats have a litter box? And she said, oh, well, they go to the bathroom outside. You know, I leave the door open. And I was like, well, it's a really busy, busy road. Aren't you worried one's going to get hit by a car or, get out? She's like, oh, no, I put a spell. He can't get outside.
What?
I was like,
a spell?
Oh, you put a spell on the door. Okay. So she put a spell on the door. And needless to say, for like 2 years, the cat never went out the door.
Really?
Yes. But so, who was I to criticize or, like, pass judgment? You know, if the spell worked, the spell worked for 2 years. But so all of a sudden, like, it comes time for me to move in, and the cat's missing. And so she's freaking out, putting signs, like, all over the place. And so, that was kind of over the past 2 weeks that this has been happening. And so Franz and his dad come to move me into my new house. His dad went and rented the U-Haul and everything and, like, packed all my stuff, which is really nice of them. But so we finished moving all my furniture into my bedroom, and so Lisa comes running in, and so she starts telling me that she found the cat. And I'm like, well, this is great. I'm like, where is the cat? She's like, well, we have to go get him on Saturday. And I was like, okay. She said, well, can you do a public service announcement on your radio? And I was like, well, kind of. Like, what do you want it to be about? And she said, I went to my psychic last week, and my psychic told me, and she's telling me she knows for sure where the cat is because of her psychic.
Oh, she went to an animal psychic, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
That found the cat. A tall, dark man, either like an Arab or a black man, had the cat in
a terrorist
in Bel Air. And so the cat was like, it was safe, but it was such a lovely cat that these people wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
So she wanted to get like a whole group of people together to go marching through Bel Air, knocking on doors, looking for a tall, dark man to find her cat.
Are you serious, Susan?
I'm dead serious.
Well.
I'm dead serious. So.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, thanks.
That's funny.
But so then this, and then her iguana lives in my bathroom. I mean, it's just kind of, the whole thing's very comedic. So she's got
it
like,
really is.
She's got like this 5-foot iguana that lives like right next to my sink.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been meaning to move him, but she hasn't had time. She's been very busy, and I've been busy too, and I don't really mind having an iguana living in my bathroom. But I go into the bathroom in the middle of the night and I turn the light on and I'm like, ah, I'm like, oh my God. You know, and it's not very friendly either. It doesn't really know me. And so, like, I'll go to move its tail so I could turn the sink on because its tail is, like, hanging in my sink. And it, like, whips me and it, like, turns around and, like, flashes its sharp, pointy teeth at me. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. But I still don't really think she's used to having a roommate, especially because I haven't been there mostly for the month of September. But so I came in on Saturday, and she freaked out. She threw open the door to my room. She's like, I thought there was a burglar in the house. And no. I was like, no, it's just me, your new roommate. And then I came in at 1 last night after the Emmys, and I was in bed this morning. And she threw open the door to my room this morning, and then she screamed when she saw me in my bed. And I screamed when she threw open the door. I was like,
whoa.
I'm like, why are you screaming at me? Like, I'm supposed to be here. She's like, I'm just not used to you being here. I'm like, yeah. Why are you in my room? But yeah.
That's funny. Okay, well, our guest is in the studio, and so we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Another tough day on Wall Street. You all know about that. Tough times right now. President Bush doing his best to respond to the crisis. I love that that gets giggles. That's not even a joke. It's just me discussing what's really going on. Just come and do it. Due to the current crisis on Wall Street, President Bush announced just a few hours ago that he's canceled a trip to Alabama. That's true. Yeah, Bush said, under these circumstances, I didn't think it was right to leave the country.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's,
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Ooh, wow! I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Doom, doom, and we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. And, of course, we have our guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are
okay,
you?
Okay, and we totally shocked him with his poem right as he sat down.
What if I walked into here?
Yeah. You see, so I wanted to give you a preview, so you think twice about whether you want to stay here or not.
That was a guest who wrote Literotica.
Yeah.
Another poem.
That's a poem. That's a poem. There's a whole book of those. Anyway, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Sean Amos, and I am one of the founders of GetBack.com.
GetBack.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us all about it. That was fascinating to me when you sent me the email. So go ahead.
GetBack.com is a new pop culture website and social destination for 35+. It's Facebook meets VH1. We're here to wake up the memories and to bring back all the cool movies and TV and music from the 80s that you dig.
Nice, nice.
Excellent.
So when you say it's part VH1, you mean because of the music?
Yeah, so we're pretty music-centric, films. VH1, when VH1 was actually playing videos and kind of...
Oh, I used to love VH1 back then.
Yeah, MTV. Yes, MTV just, like, canceled their last music show, TRL. So.
No way.
Really?
They're no longer playing any music videos.
They shouldn't be called MTV then.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's empty TV.
Yeah, empty. There you go.
I have to
agree with you. I mean, that is... and it's too bad because you still... we could still enjoy videos, music videos and stuff. You know, I mean, they're still fun. And I think they're still making them. I just don't know where they play them anymore.
GetBack.com.
Yeah. GetBack.com.
That's where they're playing them.
Now, this is your website? This is your brainchild?
I'm one of a few children with brains who put it together.
Oh, wow.
I used to work at a company called Shout Factory, which is a pop culture record label and a DVD label. Uh-huh. It puts out a lot of cool old TV shows like Freaks and Geeks. And SCTV and music from William Shatner, oddly enough.
I've heard those.
So we had Shout wanted to get into the digital game a bit, and so spun off this new company. So there's about four of us who were kind of on board originally with the company.
Nice.
And we're about 13 people now. We're all pop culture freaks. And people used to work at iFilm and Spike TV and Rhino Records and Shout Factory. And so we're all a bunch of pop culture freaks and geeks and sharing our passion with everyone else.
I see.
That's so really exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been a lot of fun.
So, and how long have you had this now?
We started the company October of last year. We launched our beta site in March of this year, mm-hmm. and we're about to relaunch our kind of official 1.0 version of the site in about a couple of weeks.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay,
congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Did you bring up the site?
I did.
It's a pretty nice looking site. I can see that. And so obviously it looks like you have a lot of stuff on there.
It's pretty deep with content. So the thing that anchors the Everyday's homepage is a show called Retro Minute, which is a one-minute show that I host. We also syndicated out to MSN and to Hulu.
A one-minute show.
A one-minute show.
What can you say in one minute?
That's long form in the web world.
Really?
We were meeting with this company the other week, and they said, look, we have long form stuff and short form stuff. Our short form is 30 seconds. Our long form is 1 minute. I'm like, so that's a long form one-minute program that gives a little overview of like this day in pop culture history. So today, which is September 22nd, on this day in 85, Michael Spinks beat Larry Holmes. Today is whose birthday is today? Dire Straits was number one on the charts.
I
with
love
Money
the
for
Dire
nothing.
Straits. Mm-hmm.
Money
oh my
for
gosh!
Nothing.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that was some song, and I loved the version where Sting sings in the beginning. You know, that's like awesome. Yeah, you know. So, yeah, definitely remember that one.
We give a little pop culture blast, a little daily pop culture blast, and then we're constantly tying new stuff to old stuff. So we talk about Miley Cyrus's new record and how she covers Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and how Cyndi's version's much better than Miley's version, even if my 7-year-old daughter doesn't agree with me.
That's cool.
And there's lots of video games. We have a lot of classic arcade games, Frogger and Space Invaders and Donkey Kong.
Oh, nice.
Mario Brothers.
You know, I was just at the radio convention, and these are the kind of products they sell two radio stations to put on the website. So you guys could actually, and you probably are planning on it, or maybe not, letting other websites carry some of your content there, right?
Absolutely.
So you feed it to them.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That would be awesome, because these are things to keep you on the website for a long time, you know, playing these games and reading about all that
stuff.
Yeah,
well, hopefully the idea, too, is that, you know, with a lot of other social networking sites, Facebook, MySpace, I think once you get over the high of reconnecting with some old high school buddy or, you know, or some dude you used to know back in college, there's really not much to do except on the sites, except for find out that so-and-so is eating dinner now. So-and-so is traveling to Monaco now.
Right.
Hopefully this site puts a context in all that. So you guys can you can find other Hall & Oates fans, other Sting fans, other folks who dug Fish Called Wanda, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a reason for networking with people.
Yeah. So it gives people, like you said, a kind of a theme or a content to gather around, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, it's not, I wouldn't look at it as something that supplants Facebook or MySpace, but it's just something in addition that you can go. It doesn't mean that you can't go to Facebook and then not go to your site.
Don't go to
it's
Facebook.
Two different things.
Don't go to Facebook.
You don't want us to
don't
go
ever
to Facebook.
Go to Facebook.
Okay,
come to getback.com.
Okay. You're taking on a giant there, you know.
Gotta think big, Sam.
Yeah, there you go. Like the guy we had a couple weeks ago wants to take on Google, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's dreams out there.
There's room for everyone. There's room for everyone.
There is. So getback.com. How did this idea come about? I mean, you separate people and everything, right? I mean, four people, you said, started this thing. So how did it evolve? I mean, did you guys, did one of you come up with the idea and then you all four sort of shared it, or?
It's pretty organic. I mean, it takes a village to wake up people's memories, you know? So there was a bunch of us who had a lot of, we're riffing for months and talking about, you know, if we were to sort of take what our core strengths are, which is presenting this stuff back to people. At Rhino and at Shout Factory, both of those labels have a real strength at you know, bringing stuff back that people kind of forgot about and making it cool again and making people remember, oh yeah, I used to love this stuff. I used to love that band. I used to love that movie.
Yeah.
And so how do you take that experience, which has been a physical experience for us, selling, you know, DVDs, selling CDs, how do you put that into a digital space?
Right.
And so it began with sort of these philosophical conversations about, you know, what do we do well and what excites us and what would that look like, you know, on the internet?
Yeah.
And then more and more people started joining into the conversation.
Yeah.
People who had different strengths, you know. So my role is to put up all this content and sort of be the gatekeeper and the tastemaker of you know, what is pop culture cool and what is pop culture uncool.
Yeah.
And there's people who are wheeling and dealing and making sure that we stay afloat financially. And there's people who are there designing the site and making it look good. And we mm-hmm. all help each other. We're all sort of it's very familial.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a cool thing.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Would you hang out there? I mean, it looks like a pretty cool place.
Can you listen to music on it?
Yeah, we've got actually 23 different streaming radio channels, audio only. So if you look in the upper right-hand corner of that page, there's this Get Back Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pick your favorite year, and we've got about 500, 600 unique songs for every year from 1968 to 1990.
Now, did you get the rights to play these songs?
Yeah, I mean, what are you guys doing about the royalties? I mean, Pandora is getting ready to close down.
We're paying them, man. We're paying them. We're legit.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the true thing too. It's like we're a safe harbor, right? We're one of the only sites, probably the only site I know of, that social networking site that has rights cleared media. So we've worked with every single record label,
mm-hmm.
Every single all the major studios. Getty Images is one of our is our photo partner, and we've made deals with all of them. So
we're
sharing revenue with them, and we're paying our royalties like we need to. And every station is set up like a legit internet radio station, even though they're not hosted or you know there's no Sam and Susie in the morning.
Right, right. It's music. It's music.
But we're pushing music, so we're doing all above board and legit. We've been paying all the royalties. So,
yeah,
wow.
Good for you.
Yeah, so it's cool. And then all the users come to our site who can play with all this content. So you set up a user page on GetBack.com. You can embed your favorite year of Get Back Radio.
You
can.
Do you have to pay to be a user or a member?
Nope.
No.
All free.
And but you know, you deal with CSAC and BMI and all this stuff.
Yep.
And you know, they're changing the rules daily. You know, I mean, they could very well come back to you in 6 months and say, you know what, all the music that you're playing, you got to pay double for it now. You know,
it's
and
entirely
make it
possible.
Retroactive. So, I mean, anybody that deals with music right now on the internet is really taking a chance. That's why I was asking you about it. I mean, it's nice that you signed all these contracts and stuff, but all I'm trying to say is it's still a very shaky ground, you know? And, I mean, just the more, and I was at the convention right now and I saw how much is talked about this and everything, you know? So, you know, not to say that I'm wishing this upon you. I'm just bringing up to our listeners that is a concern.
Yeah,
you play royalty music,
it's the Wild West right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's sort of starting over again. However, I would say on the other side of that equation, all the labels are trying to figure out how to make a new model work. Right,
right. So
they're selling fewer and fewer CDs every mm-hmm. year, and they need to figure out some way to make money. So so far, all the labels have been really supportive of us and really encouraging.
Really? That's
cool.
Well,
because we're presenting this content and these artists that people, that frankly, look, they're not at the top of the charts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
they should be. I'm an old school baby at heart.
Right on. So the fact that we can find an audience of people like Susie who care about these acts and bring them forward again, that makes labels happy. It makes artists happy.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would think, you know, I mean, you would think that if we played their music, they would love us to do this, because that's how radio really evolved into a music medium, is, you know, when they were playing music and promoting the artists. And now it's sort of like turned around completely, because they can't sell CDs, so they're trying to figure out, okay, so how are we going to make money?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because they only now realize they're not in the business of selling CDs, but in the business of music and entertainment, you know? And so it's unfortunate, you know, but that's the bad news. Let's get back to the
there's opportunities, though. Yeah. I think it creates opportunities, like you guys. My God, I mean, the fact that you can have, you know, a show like this, that we can source out like this.
No, absolutely, but
opportunities abound.
But I'm not even about to start messing with that music, you know, and the compliance and stuff, you know.
Sure. That's why he's been playing the same song every day for the past like 2 months.
Oh, shut up! That's not why. Okay, it could have been another song that I play all this time, just because I like it, for crying out loud. At any rate.
Susie pulled up the naughty photo of the day on Get Back.
I did pull up the naughty photo of the day. It caught my eye.
And what's the naughty photo of the day?
George Michael. He's actually the naughty boy of the day.
Oh, naughty boy.
Poor George.
Yeah, I just heard over the weekend he got caught again.
Back in the bathroom again.
Wow.
Back in the bathroom with the crack.
With the guy, man?
He can't stay in the bathrooms with the crack.
And you know what? I love him as an artist. I think he's an amazing, talented guy, you know? And, but everybody's got all these, like, kinks about them, you know?
Did he sing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
Wham, baby.
Wake me up before you go-go. Don't leave me hanging on like it. Yeah, it used to be my ringtone when you call my phone.
Really?
Nice.
Bad enough, Billy Ocean, get out of my dreams, get into my car.
you're the perfect get back mama.
I know. Except I'm not 35. I'm only 26.
It's all right. You can
so she can't go on there.
We'll grandfather you in.
Thank you.
That's funny. So, are you an LA native?
I was born in New York, and
there's another New York. Too. See, everybody in LA is from New York.
Yeah, go ahead. I was really young and lived here for most of my childhood, and I moved around a bit, like in high school and college. Lived in Hawaii for a while.
Oh, nice.
Lived in New England for a while, so polar opposites.
Yeah, where in New England? Totally.
East Hampton, Massachusetts.
Okay, cool.
I went to a boarding school called Williston, Northampton.
I had a girlfriend at Northfield Mount Hermon.
Oh, yeah. Used to play them.
I went to Emma Willard in upstate New York,
right
too.
Right on. Seen, you know that scene.
Oh, yes.
So I did that trip, and then I ended up in New York, went to NYU Film School, and I was in the film business for a while, and got into the music business, and now the music business has morphed into the digital...
Yeah,
digital media business.
I know you sort of have the musician vibe and stuff about you.
I'm a musician. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you playing?
I'm a singer songwriter.
Oh, really?
I produced a few records for Shout Factory.
Did you bring us some CDs? Or are you on?
You guys don't play music, so what am I?
No. It's your music. We can, of course.
I'll send you.
But do you have music on MySpace?
I have music on MySpace.
Okay, I'll look it up in a moment.
And anywhere music is sold, you can find my music.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. That's exciting.
And that's Sean Amos, right?
Yeah.
And how do you spell Sean?
Shawn.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. That's nice. So, do you still do music and stuff?
I do. The last record I put out was in 2005, called Thank You, Shirley May, and I've been producing some stuff in between. Then I produced a couple records for Solomon Burke, or executive produced a couple records for soul legend Solomon Burke, and did a record of African groups covering U2 songs.
Ooh,
really?
Fun.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd like to hear some of that.
It's pretty amazing. I'll send you guys a little care package when I split.
Thank you very much.
You should.
Yeah. And did a record
the
of
time was to bring it before.
I know. Right? Well, you're talking about Get Back. I know you're in a music show.
No, we talk about everything. You know, a guest comes in here, we find out everything about you.
Cool.
We'll get to your sex life, too. Don't worry about
it. I got to write a poem quickly.
Well, that's cool. So you've grown up here in LA.
Yeah,
you grew up here
more than anywhere else. This is sort of where most of my roots are.
Yeah, and so you did film before?
I went to film school at NYU, and I wrote a couple screenplays that never got made. Yeah, that's the thing about the film business, right? You can make a great living writing screenplays, and no one will ever see them.
Yeah,
and so that was sort of my my lot in life. And that's why I got into songwriting, because I was just really frustrated with how long it took to make a movie. It takes way too long, costs way too much money, and making albums and songs is a lot.
I know,
lot
I don't
easier.
See how people can do it, you know.
Screw albums, they take too long too. Get into jingles.
or digital media, make 1 minute shows.
Yeah.
Make 1 minute web shows. That's
there you go.
The ultimate instant gratification.
Yeah. That's cool. And are you married? Do you have kids?
I am married. And with two kids and a third on the way in a couple months.
Nice.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
You have a 7-year-old daughter and who
I have
else?
A 3-year-old son.
Oh.
And we don't know the sex of the third. We're going to be surprised.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And they're cool. It's a good time.
Nice. And so you like that. I mean, did you used to have wild times when you were younger and things like that?
Barbara Walters.
Yeah, there you go.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, we need to know about you. No, but
don't
you
make me cry, Sam.
You don't have to answer anything you don't want to, of course. You know,
I'm usually the one that makes boys cry.
Okay.
Yeah.
For totally different reasons, I would presume.
Yeah, don't mess with her,
yes, I was fairly wild. Yeah, I grew up in the entertainment business in LA in the 70s and 80s, so you can imagine that I
very
had
wild.
A pretty crazy existence. So I'm glad I got past it.
Yeah.
Instead of being a victim to it, which is it could have gone either way there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's that's
he's a survivor.
Yeah, or something like that.
A survivor of the 70s.
the virus 70s and 80s. Yeah,
yeah, totally, totally. I know. That's when I was a teenager in the 70s, and I lived in Vegas at the time. And there was, I mean, partying was really a way of life. I mean, you didn't do anything else, you know, going to the mountains with kegs of beer and stuff, and people don't even know each other, you know. So we essentially had a Burning Man every weekend.
Yeah,
know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I tell people that when I grew up in Hollywood, and I used to take a carpool to school, and so I'd walk to the corner of my street to wait for my carpool to pick me up. And when I got dropped off at the end of the day at the corner, there were hookers on the corner. And
really?
That was Hollywood in like 1980, you know, early 80s. And I knew all the hookers. They're all like, they're like kind of like my surrogate mothers. Like, did you learn something today at school, honey?
Oh, wow.
Smart enough. In 1985, growing up in New York, my mom and I were in the city, and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. I had to be down in the city early for a shoot or something. And there were two hookers walking down the street, and they had their fishnet tights on. And I was like, Mama, look, they just came from dance class. My mom's like, yep, they just came from dance class.
Some kind of dancing.
Yep, 7 o'clock in the morning. So you were friends with the hookers. I'm like, oh, dance class.
Yeah. Yeah. Living parallel lives on opposite ends of the coast.
Uh-huh.
So, you didn't know what lap dancing was yet.
Oh,
huh?
No, not yet. Yeah. Another couple of years.
Yeah, New York during that time was pretty funky, too.
Yeah.
Going to NYU back in the 80s, and it was... Yeah, my dorm was right across from a crack house. And
really?
Yeah, it was. You know, East Village was not as shishy as it is
definitely
now.
Definitely not.
It was pretty edgy. Yeah. Pretty edgy.
And they used to have Studio 54, which was like the place be in the
80s.
Oh,
we got these flip books that were these little like kind of photo collections of different topics, and we have a great Studio 54 flip book.
Really?
And those dudes were nuts, man.
Yeah.
Nuts.
I know.
That sounds awesome.
Wouldn't have been amazing to be there, you know. So that's what the site is about. I mean, you bring back memories,
totally.
Right?
Waking up the memories.
That's awesome.
That's the line, man.
That's really cool.
Bringing you the information lost in your own mind.
Right. Now, what makes it a social networking site? I mean, do people sign in and they have their own?
Sign in at your own page, your yearbook page.
Okay.
You know, pick your graduation year in your zip, and that's all you need to do to get in.
Nice.
And so we'll pre-populate your yearbook page with some albums and movies and other content from your graduation year.
Awesome.
And you can collect stuff on the site. So you see albums you dig, you can collect them and add them to your media collection.
Yeah.
Movie trailers you dig, you can add those. You can find other folks who or sharing the same interests as you, other Bengals fans, other 70s street corner hooker fans,
other Duck Hunter,
other Duck Hunt fans. Yeah, you got a great arcade game. You know who's getting the high score in
Frogger. Wait, you could
today.
Play these games on here?
Yeah, man.
Oh my God, I love you.
Click on games over on the left hand side there in the nav there.
Yeah, we're talking, of course, about getback.com.
I'm already in the games.
So go for it. Scroll down, play. We'll play your favorite.
Yeah, she found
she's
the games.
She's lost in the arcade.
Bye, guys. I'll see you later. Susie's signing out.
Lost in the getback arcade.
But that's a cool name. How did you guys come up with that name?
You know what, man? Names are the hardest thing. My God, there was a lot of dialogue on that name.
A two-word name is pretty cool with the .com.
Yep.
So
we fought for it. We fought for
it. Oh, really?
But,
wow.
But it's ours.
So you had to have that name. I mean, you guys.
Had to. It's a good name, right?
Yeah.
Get back.
Yeah. It's an awesome name.
I'm getting back. I've got all these memories going on.
Yeah. It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
It's a state of mind.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. So did you say you're pretty much responsible for the content on the site?
Yeah, I am responsible. That's my gig.
Wow.
My gig is to make sure the content's
well,
tight.
Well, Susie, there goes another guy who probably doesn't get any sleep, right?
Not a lot of sleep, man. Yeah. Not a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
As far as we have a blog on Yahoo, and I was rapping with one of the Yahoo front page editors, and those guys have, like, a tough gig. They're like, you know, 15, 16 hours a day.
Really?
And they're, like, running, you know, rolling stuff off the page every 10, 20 minutes.
Right.
And it's like being a stockbroker or something.
Yeah.
Working the floor of the stock exchange.
Right. Yeah. But you pretty much probably do it like throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
And, do you have to prepare every day?
We publish a new homepage every day. So there's four to five new stories every single day. Mm-hmm. We have a new Retro Minute episode every day.
Really?
So there's a lot of...
And you're obviously creative, so you can come up with all these ideas and stuff, right?
Me and some great people. I have a great team of people.
I see.
Who produce the shows, who are scouring the internet all day long for great pop culture stories, both, you know, past and present.
Right.
And so we have an editorial calendar, and we meet once a week and go over our calendar and talk about the kinds of things we want to wrap about on the site.
Yeah.
And then we do twice a week. We get into extended Retro Minute recording sessions, so we can build our Retro Minute episodes for the following week.
Yeah.
And then we publish every night
I'm glad you're. I'm really glad you're here because you're setting a really good example for what I've been trying to get him into with getting an intern and with getting people to, like, you know, share some of the responsibilities and kind of brainstorm and get together. He's been taking so much on by himself.
I can't do
it. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like you're so busy anyway, and it's like you don't do everything by yourself.
No,
so you are just a perfect example. Thank you. Thank you for coming in
here.
Would you
get off my fucking back already with this thing? My God.
I'm just trying to help you out.
Spread the wealth. Delegate.
Yeah. Well, I'm learning that right now. So now I noticed there's not a lot of advertising on the site, which is nice. You know, it's not too distracting.
It's subtle.
Everything.
Yeah, we've got there's three ads. Some beer ads. We got a banner at the top. There's three ads per page, and then depending on the video content you're watching, there may be a pre-roll. Of an ad. So our music videos are all supplied by the various record labels, and they control those feeds. So they're placing ad, you know, 15-second ads before the music videos.
I see.
But we want to keep it pretty unobtrusive. But we're an ad-driven site. And
I mean, you know, obviously, if you provide your service for free and stuff, you know. So, so you've been able to monetize it to a certain extent.
Yeah. I mean, our traffic's rolling up every month.
Nice.
And we've got a lot of great... we've been syndicating our editorial content. So, like I mentioned earlier, we have a Yahoo blog. We write five days a week for Yahoo, which is a great exposure for us. We've started writing for Fox News in their entertainment section. Our Retro Minute is syndicated out through MSN and Hulu. Mm-hmm. We also, you can check out the Retro Minutes at gas stations. We have this deal with a company called Pump Top TV that has screens all the gas stations. So when you're filling up, you'll see my mug over the unleaded tank.
Really?
They have those at like the Shell stations.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I usually watch the news when I'm saying they're filling up, but that would be so much more entertaining.
You'll see me now. I mean, much better experience for you.
Oh, cool. That's so cool.
So we got a lot of offline, online, you know, opportunities to create branding for us and get people in the Get Back vibe.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful,
totally.
Man. This is awesome.
Thank you, man.
But let's take a quick break, and because I got to run to the restroom. I can't wait another 20 minutes here. So we'll take a quick break, and
I'll be
back.
I'll be playing Tetris.
Right after this.
David Caruso uses the latest technology to scoop up the bad guys. CSI DOG. Yuck. What do we got on my shoe?
Well, Horatio, looks like someone didn't pick up after their pooch.
Time to get the DNA off the D-O-O. David Caruso is cleaning up the streets on CSI DOG.
Horatio, we just got the results of the lab work, and it was the work of a lab.
Not bad, but there's a problem. I'm supposed to be the guy with the witty puns.
Sorry, Horatio, I forgot. You're the top dog.
Quit it.
The bad boys are on a short leash tonight on CSI DOG.
You're locked in to LA Talk Radio, the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk. We say what we want.
Smoke-filled covers of the light, as two blind lovers steal the night. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Decorated drunken lights, can't eclipse those starry eyes. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't wide? Can we go where summers never lie? Shadows whisper favorite tunes to eager listeners breaking news. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? The faithful soul. world as rain deceives. Can you feel it? And can you feel its insight? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't white? Can we go where summer's never lie? Summer's never lie. But isn't it about a chance of standing still? Isn't it about a love that always will? Early hours just observed, nighttime's meaning to be heard. Can you feel it? Can you feel its insight? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Another tough day on Wall Street. You all know about that. Tough times right now. President Bush doing his best to respond to the crisis. I love that that gets giggles. When, that's not even a joke. It's just me discussing what's really going on. Just come and do it. Due to the current crisis on Wall Street, President Bush announced just a few hours ago that he's canceled a trip to Alabama. That's true. Yeah, Bush said, under these circumstances, I didn't think it was right to leave the country.
Okay, and we're back. What do you guys think? I mean, Susie, I know you don't like to talk about these things, but apparently the government now has stepped in to help us with all these banks that are going, apparently now there's no more investment banks as of this morning.
What?
Yes. They converted, there were two more. They're Morgan Stanley and one more I can't remember. Because obviously Lehman Brothers, we know the whole story there. So the government has converted them into sort of like banks now. So they're not like investment bankers anymore. So they're saying this is like an end of an era, you know? And so we're going through some shit here that we haven't been before.
We're going through $700 billion of shit.
Right? Yeah.
That's huge bailout.
Yeah.
In the works this week.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
How do you think
we're going to emerge from that?
We gotta emerge, right? I mean, yeah. What's the alternative?
Yeah.
I mean, although I tell you, for the first time in my life, I'm glad I don't have money in stock market.
Yeah.
I've kicked myself for years about being too lame with money to make the stock market.
I know, I did the same
out.
Thing, and then I got into the stock market, and now I'm eating shit. You know?
I squandered all of my money in the stock markets, now I'm just out again.
Right. That's a good time to be out. Any broker guy will tell you, now it's, the bargains, you get bargains.
That's true. There are the bargains right now, yeah. And that's our hope, really, is that people recognize that. And then they start buying up again, and then the prices go up again.
Yep.
But it's like we always complain when the economy gets bad, but the thing is it's always been in cycles, It's always up and down.
Hmm.
And you have 7 good years, 7 bad years, what are you going to do? But hopefully, I think lately or more recently in history, we've been able to recover from economic downturns a lot faster.
I don't think we've had a downturn quite like this one, though.
This
is like the mother of all downturns.
Don't forget 2001. That wasn't a pretty time either, And with the dot-com bubble bursting you probably don't remember that because we don't want to remember that.
But $700 billion bailout—that's the biggest bailout in the history of the world.
That's true.
That's true.
It's a lot of money.
This one's a whole other level of bailoutness.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily what most people agree with, you know, that they need to be bailed out, you know. Because, I mean, this is all taxpayer money, yep. You know, for people that can't manage their stuff correctly, you know. But, yeah. What do you think, Susie?
I don't really know that. You know me, I'm in my own little world most of the time when it comes to dealing with stuff like this. It's so unpleasant.
Yeah, it's safe. Just look the other way. Do some shrooms.
No,
happy place.
Shut up. No, but what do you mean they're bailing them out?
They're helping them stay in business by giving them a lot of money, right?
There's basically the credit market's on hold right now. None of these banks have any money to pass back and forth for loans to build, you know, to go towards building buildings or any kinds of construction projects or housing mortgages. So anything that requires the borrowing and lending of money isn't happening right now because no one has the money to do it.
And so if they collapse, that creates a big problem, you know.
Oh.
So, yeah. So they're trying to save them and stuff, but it's not necessarily the best policy, you know, and we'll see in days to come what comes out of this, you know, but I don't know, at this point I really don't want Bush to be leading this stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, it's Paulson's leading it right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's the difference of the fact that we have to get bailed out and the feelings about that versus the circumstances that created the bailout, right?
Yeah,
so it's
like,
I feel like we got to bail it out because the alternative to not bailing out is complete financial chaos and abyss. But after the bailout happens, we got to figure out a way that these people have a little bit of a shorter leash.
Yeah, you know?
A shorter leash on them.
Well, yeah, so hopefully we'll have a different party in government. Not that I'm crazy about the Democrats, but I do think we need to change what's going on for a while, you know. And the thing is, you know, somebody made an interesting point. I mean, you know, Susie, they're talking about, you know, McCain being old and he might die and then Palin taking his place and becoming the president. And you know what? When you think about it, I mean, how old is he?
72.
So, I mean, he obviously doesn't have that many years to live. I overheard, I think, on the radio this morning that when you're 72, you have an average of about 12 years left in you. So, you know, so you're getting closer and closer to death. And when you think about it, if Sarah Palin takes over, she has absolutely no experience in federal government, you know, let alone run a friggin' country. So we need to think about these things.
I have thought about them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not voting for them.
Good for you. Good for you.
No, that's pretty clear way.
Cause
I'm done thinking about that
people
one.
People said, you know, she's injected excitement into their campaign and so forth, but we're enamored with her fucking glasses and how pretty she is, you know, soccer mom, for crying out loud.
You know about those glasses?
Yeah.
Hockey.
The guy who makes those glasses,
uh-huh.
He usually sells 9,000 pair in a year. He sold 12,000 in the last month.
Oh, no.
He's a completely back order if he wants his glasses.
You see, and you never know where the windfall is going to come from.
Yeah, she's good for business. Palin's good for business.
Yeah, there you go.
Good for the eyewear business.
But we really have to think about these things, you know. And, you know, so I don't know. You know, McCain, I think for the most part he's a good man, but I think he's a little...
You think he's going to die? Real nice, Sam.
Yeah. I think he's a little too late. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. But, I think any dude who's been around in that culture for that long to suddenly say they're going to change that culture, it seems incredibly disingenuous.
Yeah, and especially conservatives, too, you know. They don't change. They don't change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You got deep there, Sam. That was like that was like a heavy political.
Yeah, well, we try sometimes.
He does this on occasion.
Wow. I try to alienate her sometimes.
I thought I was walking into a.
We start off with the erotica, and then we end.
Well, that's
what the show's about.
Ground to travel from, you know,
yeah. That's what the show's about. We have no limits. We say whatever the hell comes into our mind.
God bless you. God bless you.
Sam and Susie, ADD.
So wonderful. So what's next with the website? How do you guys envision the next step?
Well, we're relaunching in a couple weeks with our kind of, I guess, technically our 1.0. We've been in beta this whole time. So when you're in a beta site, you're working out the kinks and you're getting feedback from your users and you're figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And we've had a real loyal, vocal user base thus far. And a lot of people are really loving what we're doing and giving us some good responses and good feedback. So we have taken that into account, taking note, and we're relaunching in a couple weeks with a new and improved site and with a few new feature sets.
Really?
And
well, that'll be nice.
And then it's all, you know, balls to the wall and make this thing happen.
And make it really big.
Yeah. So expanding our user base, getting the word out there through every one who will
be willing to talk to me about it.
Yeah. it's cool, you know, and I mean, it's like sort of a format where you can take it anywhere you want, you know. You're not really confined to anything small, you know.
No.
You're talking about going back in time in all aspects of culture.
Absolutely. I'm actually cursing you in advance because you just gave me a new form of procrastination.
Yeah.
Right on. Instead of, like, you know, sitting there at school being like, I should be studying for bio, but instead I'm, like, mindlessly clicking Facebook. Now I'm going to be mindlessly clicking get back.
But it won't be mindless because you'll be reliving the stuff and you'll realize. But the other thing, too, is, like, we have a great feature called What We're Digging. And every Wednesday we turn our users on to a new band or, you know, new music or a new film that owes something to something back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, last week we introduced our users to a group called Fleet Foxes. They're like this 21st century Crosby, Stills, and Nash band, like these really crazy Baroque pop harmonies.
Whoa.
And they're hip, right? This week we're going to talk about a guy named Tom Freund who has a great album that's produced by Ben Harper. So it's not just about being stuck in 1980 whatever. It's about, hey, there's stuff going on now. There's mm-hmm. great music going on now. There's great movies out there now. There's great pop culture now that mm-hmm. in many respects owes a lot to what happened back then. So we want to turn people on to that stuff, too, because I think what happens is your life gets busier, you sort of get...
You don't have the time to go and, like, find new music
yeah.
that, like, relates... Because I'm such a child of the 80s and, you know, all this music, and I get so pissed off when I listen to the radio these days. I'm like, there's nothing
here.
And at the same time, you also get sick of listening to, like, your same CD case, like, over and over
totally,
and over again.
Totally.
So this is really exciting.
Yeah, so you get a place to say, oh, wow, there's new music that I like. Because the new music that's out there that you might like, being a child of the 80s,
yeah.
is probably not the stuff that's being played, you know, in top 40 right now.
Exactly.
But it's out there, and you got to hunt a little bit more. So we're doing the hunting for you. We're providing the service to you know, dig up the stuff that's cool that you can draw a line from your favorite 80s, 70s, or even 60s band in some instance, to something that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, if we're successful, which we already are to a degree, is we're creating this dialogue.
Oh, you will be.
We're creating this dialogue of what's, you know, then and now. It's constantly then and now. You know?
Right.
And also with artists back then too, a lot of times artists who were really huge back then are still doing cool stuff. They may not be on the top of the pop of the charts anymore, but they're doing some
yeah.
cool. They're doing some cool
and
shit.
Yeah, I'd like to know what they're doing.
Yeah,
these
what
days,
they up to
you
now.
Know?
What yeah. they look like now.
Yeah.
You know, they got a good face job or a bad face job.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Well, Boy George is in the bathroom.
Yeah, George Michael's in the. We know what George Michael's doing.
Yeah.
No doubt's there. So yeah, so we're about wake up the memories, but also putting you in touch with, you know, stuff that's cool now,
yeah.
and giving you a little shortcut to the coolest pop culture now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the website.
Thanks,
and especially on the relaunch and everything.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a very creative guy, and I know you'll do well because when you're creative, you come up with original things.
Got
you. Know?
You.
And this is amazing. I'm definitely going to check it out, make it a destination.
Spend some time, man.
Regular destination there. And so everybody go to getback.com. I think very simple name, which is cool. These days, you can't find many of them. And thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Sure.
It was wonderful.
A lot of pleasure.
A lot of fun. Right
yeah.
See you soon.
And we're at the end of the show, Susie.
Already.
Are you okay?
Back. I am.
Okay.
Got to go to school for the rest of the night now.
Yes, you do.
Grr.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back right here, same place, same time.